Part 5. Spouses and Romantic Relationships. Marlon Myers, April 1964 to November 1968. Marlon Myers met John Wayne Gacy in 1964 when they both worked at Roberts Brothers clothing store in Springfield, Illinois. He was living with an aunt and uncle at the time. The pair were engaged by March and married in September in a Catholic church ceremony. Her father owned 3 Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises and made his new son-in-law an offer. He would employ him in his business and offer him his home to live in. His motive was to ensure that his beloved daughter was well looked after. He was not fond of Gacy and tried to persuade his daughter not to marry him, so this was his next best option. Of course, the pair accepted the generous offer and moved into the Myers family home in Waterloo, Iowa, after the wedding. While Gacy worked long hours in the business, he also became actively involved in the local Jaycees and spent the majority of his free time doing work for them and socializing with the members. By 1965, he became the vice president and was named Key Man of the Year, which his wife was proud of. Her father had also promoted Gacy to become the manager of the 3 franchises once he had proven himself, and the pair lived a lavish and comfortable life together. They had their first child, Michael, in February of 1966, and their second, Christine, in March of 1967. This was the time that Gacy described his life as being perfect, particularly because he finally got the approval from his father, who visited the couple in June of 1966 and said, "Son, I was wrong about you." Gacy and the Waterloo Jaycees had a wild social life, which included wife swapping, prostitution, pornography, and drugs. When his wife was pregnant with their first child, he had one of his first homosexual experiences after a night of drinking, where he woke up experiencing intense pleasure from a male friend who had decided to perform fellatio on him. It was after the birth of their second child that Gacy took up the opportunity to sodomize Edward Lynch while his wife was still in hospital, followed by Donald Voorhees. When Donald Voorhees told his father about the incident, they reported Gacy to the police, which resulted in an investigation. On May the 10th, 1968, Gacy was indicted on the sodomy charges, which greatly upset his wife and in-laws. He spent the next few months denying his involvement in the crimes, failing lie detector tests, and undergoing psychiatric evaluation. But on December the 3rd, 1968, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the charges. His wife filed for divorce on the same day, requesting sole custody of their children, full ownership of their home and property, and alimony. Her grounds for divorce were filed as her husband's inhumane conduct that threatened her life and health and which violated their marriage vows. The court ruled in her favor, and their divorce was finalized on September 18th, 1969. Gacy got to keep his personal items, including his film equipment and projector screen, and Marlon agreed to send him photos of their children twice a year. He tried to write them letters and beg to physically see his children, but after getting no response, decided that it would be best to move on with his life. He told fellow inmates and his mother that they were dead to him. Once he was released from prison on parole and moved in with his mother, he asked her to get rid of all the pictures of his ex-wife and children so that he never had to be reminded of them again. When he started working at Bruno's restaurant, he enjoyed telling people that he was once married to the colonel's daughter, referring to the founder of KFC, another lie. He never saw Marlon or his children again. While some records say that a Marlon Myers passed away in 2013, other records show that she is still alive and living in Chicago, where members of her church confirmed that she was still alive in 2021. Carol Hough, August 1971 to March 1976. Carol Hough had attended the same school as Gacy, was friends with his sisters, and had casually dated him when they were teenagers. In 1971, after he had been released from prison and had settled into his new life, he met up with her again. She was a divorcee with two daughters of her own, and the pair were engaged within a few months. He asked her to move in with him, which proved to be a tight fit in a two-bedroom house, where his mother was already occupying one room. He permanently slept on the couch, while Carol and her daughters shared one room, and his mother had another room. Both of their mothers were friends, and played bingo together on some nights, which was when the couple could enjoy some quality time together on the couch in the living room. They got married on June 1, 1972, and had the reception in the backyard, where he prepared most of the food and refreshments himself. Carol described him as an engaging and considerate companion, and felt that he was a good father to her daughters. They frequently socialized with their neighbors, the Grexes, and the JC members, where Gacy allegedly enjoyed offering his wife's services to other men in the group. In 1974, they held his first annual themed dinner party, which was Hawaiian-themed, and attracted approximately 200 guests. As the guest list grew each year, so did the number of teenage boys, which neighbors started taking notice of. By 1974, Gacy had also made a success of his business, PDM Contractors, which is where he invested most of his time. By 1975, Carol felt completely neglected and was not enjoying being frequently subjected to her husband's anger outbursts. She said that he barely slept and never in their master bedroom, and started noticing that he was bringing teenage boys to the house to hang out with in the garage. On inspection, she found a mattress and red light on the floor, a stash of pornography, and signs of sexual activity. When she questioned him about it, he became hostile and refused to talk about it. At that point, the smell in the house was also becoming unbearable for her and the kids, even though Gacy had scattered lime in the crawl space and always dismissed it as dampness. Their sex life was failing, and on Mother's Day 1975, Gacy told Carol that he would no longer be having sex with her because he was only attracted to boys. The last straw for her was when he verbally abused her for incorrectly balancing a checkbook in October of 1975. She asked him for a divorce, which he agreed to, and was finalized on March 2, 1976. Their split was amicable, and they remained friends to the point where Gacy was confiding in her about his bisexuality, even though he was only describing what he found attractive in young, fit boys with nice asses. They attempted sex one more time, but Gacy couldn't get aroused and apologized to her. The trauma of his father calling him a homosexual throughout his youth had somehow translated in his mind as being anything but homosexual. Even on death row, he insisted that he was bisexual. He made a point of ensuring that his listener understood that he was not a homosexual. Gacy helped Carol to move her furniture out of the house and even had a carpet installed in a new home. She also remained a hostess at his themed parties. The last time they were seen together was on Memorial Day in 1978. She later remarried and has hopefully lived a long and happy life since then. Evelyn Preby, 1977 to 1978. While it was reported that Gacy did not have sex with any woman after Carol Hough, some of his employees and neighbors reported that he was engaged to a woman who moved in with him for a short time, called Evelyn Preby. Gacy allegedly kicked her out a few weeks before the wedding because she was a slob who never cleaned up after herself. As we know, He kept his house meticulously clean and tidy, so he would have had no tolerance with a woman who was not extremely neat like him.